Welcome back to the Road to NTDC 2024 from Pod Wheels, powered by Radio Nemo. The National Truck Driving and National Step Van Driving Championships will be taking place this August in Indianapolis. And through this podcast, you'll be hearing features, insights, and stories related to the preparations that will be going into this year's Road to Indianapolis. Your hosts for the podcast are Eugene Malero and Greg Thompson.
Thrilled to be back with you on the podcast, the NTDC 2024, the Road to Indianapolis. Greg Thompson, alongside the man who knows it all, knows the history of it, knows the feeling of it, Eugene Malero from Transport Topics. Eugene, we've got some big news as we start out this edition of the podcast.
You're absolutely right. This is probably a major game changer for the entire field at Nationals. The current national grand champion at NTDC, James Greg Wilson of Nevada, competes for UPS. He actually, wait for it, did not make it. He did not qualify for this year's tournament. He came in second place, competing in the tanker truck. That means that he does not qualify for Nationals. And basically, going into Nationals, there's definitely going to be a new grand champion for 2024. James Greg Wilson of Nevada did not qualify. And this pretty much opens up the field for a lot of the main competitors to make a big run at the grand champion title this year.
Well, here's the thing. If folks listened to the previous episode, we had an interview with Greg. He was coming off a vacation. He had just been named to the road team. Even with those things going on, you and I were pretty confident that a defending national grand champion would make it through the state level. This just kind of goes to show you that anything can happen in this competition.
Absolutely right. I had the opportunity to catch up with Greg after the competition, and he said literally the same thing. He said, it's pretty much any given Sunday, anything can happen on any given day, even though he felt really good about the test portion of the exam. There's three disciplines, as our listeners know, as part of the competition. It was the pre-trip that he said really kind of just a tad rusty. He just needed a little bit of a brush up on his pre-trip. He even acknowledged that the pre-trip just felt more difficult than previous years. But it is uncommon for a grand champion not to make it and not to qualify. That is pretty uncommon because the guys who go to Nationals all the time, they develop a formula. They develop a system where they really calculated the quickest way, the most efficient way to get out of state and make it to the Nationals. So again, we're going to have a new grand champion title holder this year. Greg Wilson just didn't qualify. But kudos to the man who beat him. His name is Anthony Miller, driving out of Walmart. Walmart got the best team trophy out of Nevada this year. I may have to catch up on who Anthony Miller is so I can give a better bio on this driver. But he is the one who qualified, going to be competing out of Nevada in the tanker truck class.
Well, Eugene, when we're looking at the larger picture of the road to Indianapolis, the road to the grand champion of 2024, this is, as we said, very big news. But in sharing this, we don't want to overlook all of the state champions in Nevada, and particularly the grand champion in Nevada. And I know you had a chance to talk to the winner of the grand championship in Nevada.
That's right. His name is Matt Hart. He is not a stranger to NTDC. He's actually a 7-time qualifier to the national show. Matt Hart drives for FedEx Freight, and he's going to be competing in the twin trailer class. If Roland Bolduc out of Massachusetts or Connecticut, whichever state he competes in, qualifies for nationals this year, which he will most likely will, Roland's competing in trailers, and Matt Hart said that he is looking forward to go head-to-head with Roland Bolduc. They actually go way back. They're both FedEx guys. Matt Hart, he is in his late 40s. He said that he felt that everything came together. He said he had a solid test. He felt really, really good in the driving portion. And unlike Greg Wilson, he was really confident in the pre-trip. And he even said that the pre-trip is what got him really over the hump in the winner's circle and the grand champion status. This is not his first state grand champion. He won Nevada's grand champion trophy, I want to say about a decade ago, if I recall correctly. And he is a gracious winner. winner. He had nothing but respect for the rest of the field, especially Greg Wilson. He's known Greg Wilson for almost two decades, and he said that over the years, Greg Wilson has been the consummate competitor, consummate gentleman, and a person that has really gone way beyond the call of duty to mentor other drivers, and he congratulated Greg Wilson. We're not writing the guy's obituary. The guy came in second place. He came in second. He got a trophy. That's a big deal. But Matt Hart now has all his attention focused on nationals. What he's saying is that he drives over from where he lives in Northeast Nevada over to Salt Lake, where he meets other colleagues and they train on the weekends. I think Saturday mornings is when they train in Salt Lake City. He came in third place, I think in 2019. The vehicle class, I think, was the three axle, but don't quote me on that. But he came in third place, but he told me that he's been one of those guys at nationals that he knows he could have won a title, but something always kind of went off. So like he was about to maybe go for the title or come in first or second, and then he hit an obstacle or he missed this thing in pre-trip. So he is focusing on is on the details so he can really fine-tune his performance this year.
Tell you what, folks, let's take a listen to Eugene's conversation with the Grand Champion of Nevada.
Hey, Matt. Happy Monday, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. Congratulations on winning Nevada Grand Champion in the Twins category.
Thank you.
So I have a few just background questions that I do want to get out of the way, like your record and participating and all that. So obviously you qualify for nationals right now. So like how many nationals have you been to?
I've been to seven previous nationals.
So this will be number eight.
Yes.
How many state grand champions have you won?
This one and the other one. I won one previous in 2016.
Oh, look at you. Been there. Very cool. Have you competed in Twins at Nationals before?
Yes.
How many times?
I think I've competed in Twins maybe three times. This will be my third. I've competed in straight truck twice and three axle three times, I believe.
Do you know your top finish ever at Nationals?
My top finish was, I believe, 2019. I finished third at Nationals in straight trucks.
Awesome. That was in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
How long have you been with FedEx?
I've been with FedEx for 16 years.
You've been a driver from Nevada your whole career?
Yes.
How many years in trucking would that be?
I've been with FedEx for 16 years. 3 years previous, I was with Conway Freight out here.
So always Nevada?
Yeah, always Nevada. Working on my, 20th year coming up in trucking.
Very cool. Let's talk about the state tournament. How did you feel that day?
My pre-trip and my written exam I felt pretty confident on. The only thing I really didn't feel too confident on was the skills course. I thought I didn't do too greatly on the course, but apparently I did enough to get me to the grand champion.
Was there a moment during the tournament where you felt like things were really clicking, you had really good rhythm? And what point do you really start feeling like that you know you're doing well?
Usually I feel I'm doing pretty well after I've taken the written exam and can only, if I go back in my mind and rethink things, I'm like, okay, so maybe I missed two questions out of it. That's pretty good. And then when I go do my pre-trip, and I've had pre-trips before where I've gone through and barely called out anything. But when I have years where I can sit there and constantly call out defects going around the truck without any real long dead spaces in between, I feel pretty confident about the pre-trip. That would be good too.
So of the three categories, would you say pre-trip is your best one?
Yeah, I believe so. Pre-trip.
Okay.
The high point pre-trip award this year.
So you were honored for the best pre-trip?
Yeah.
So how does one become really good at pre-trip?
A lot of practicing, a lot of getting out there, getting to know your equipment you're looking at. It's like with our tractors, I know what I'm looking at, and just looking for things that seem out of place on the tractor and just going over with a good eye going over the truck. I remember 1 year at Nationals, I think I scored like 95 out of the 100 on the Nationals. And the only thing I missed on it was they covered up some of the reflective tape on the side of the truck by 1 inch and covered a piece of white with red. And that's the thing I missed.
Is pre-trip something that you practice, or is it something that it shows attention to detail, or is it something that just many years of experience you get better at it?
It's many years of experience, and then you pre-trip and you post-trip every day during your shift. You become familiar with your equipment and start to remember things, what you're looking for.
So you win Grand Champion. You know that Greg Wilson didn't make it. Do you have an opinion on that? Any thoughts on that?
He gave it his best shot, and I guess this just wasn't his year.
Hey, but this is your year. You're going to go to Nationals. So what's your schedule looking like now? When do you train? Do you train on the weekends? Are you one of those guys who wakes up at 5 a.m. on a Sunday and go to the corral and parallel park?
Well, that's the problem with me coming from Elko. I've only seen one or two other competitors ever compete from Elko, so I don't really have anyone out here to practice with. And like this year, since I'm driving and competing in the twin set, when I want to do problems with the rear axle on the rear trailer, my yard's a dirt lot, so the engine kicks up a lot of dust and I can't really see the problems behind me. So this year, Salt Lake City is still holding their practices, so I'll be driving over on their weekend days over there and practicing with the Salt Lake crew.
Is that like a long drive? Like several hours?
It's about a 4-hour drive to get over to Salt Lake from here.
I grew up in New Jersey. 4 hours for us was like a day trip. That was it. So you're going to be at Nationals for your 8th time. That's exciting. What's your favorite part about Nationals?
Just the camaraderie with everybody else, getting to see who made it this year, see who you remember, rehash old times.
In addition to Team FedEx, are there other people you really enjoy seeing?
Every year I go, I'm always interested to see if Roland Bulldog made it. I like to compete with him because he's one of the best in the nation and he's a wealth of knowledge to learn from.
He goes on eBay and he gets like historical notes about the tournament. So he'll show me that he found like a program from 1951, stuff like that. So that's exciting. You're going to be competing against him.
That's what I'm looking forward to this year, is when I go to train with him to see if we're in the same class and if we're in the same group. I can get up close with him and watch how he's running the course and try to pick his brain to see what he's thinking about when he's going around the course.
Oh, I like it. He's going to be competing in twins this year.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, so I'm going to be looking forward to the Clash of the Titans. Give him heck, okay?
I'll do my best.
Everything is earned in life. I came up with that concept, by the way. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe this. Can I tell it to you?
Okay.
This is real. You are the third Matt Hart I have met in my life.
There's a Matt Hart that lives out here in Spring Creek with me. We always get confused.
Oh, really?
Just driving around town, they're like, I know you. I'm like, no, that's the other Matt Hart that lives out here. He lives in Spring Creek. I live in Elko.
Oh, that's funny. The head of the Illinois Trucking Association, his name is Matt Hart. And then I went to college, and my sweet mate's brother is Matt Hart. So when I saw your name, I was like, is that the Illinois guy? What's going on? So I thought that was funny.
It's not your common name, but some people think the same when they have their children.
Yeah. So what is it that you're aiming to focus on your training for Nationals?
For Nationals, I want to get down my pre-trip, do my pre-trip within the 10-minute limit, get a good routine down so I know when they call out time and stuff like that, I know where I'm supposed to be on the truck so I'm not having to forego a chunk of a trailer to save some points somewhere.
Were you part of the Nevada team that won best team in 2018?
Yes, I was.
Oh, okay. I took your photo then.
Well, see, we've already met and just haven't noticed.
Okay, very cool. How do you motivate yourself at NTDC?
I think it's a lot of my thought processes is what motivates me is that there's 450 people here competing for 9 or 10 coveted spaces. I always want to see if I can get to one of those spots. I always drive to make sure that I'm trying to get up there. So far, the highest I've gotten is the third. I've been in the runoffs at NTDC a couple times. Slowly, I've been progressing up and up. Hopefully one year, maybe this year, I can get one of those top spots.
And Matt, last question. Please don't overthink it. What is your favorite quote?
Well, one pops into mind from Ghostbusters, which I always thought was funny, was when Dan Aykroyd was, they're going down through the library, and he suddenly says, Shush, do you smell that?
That's the quote? Shush, you smell that?
Shush, do you smell that?
I like it. Is that when they go to, like, the hotel on their first job?
No, when they're in the New York Library, and they're going down in the basement, and they're all trying to figure out what's going on down there, and just stops out of nowhere, and all of them are around, and he tells the guys to shush, but instead of saying, listen, he says, do you smell that?
Very cool. Did you see the most recent Ghostbusters? Dan Aykroyd's in it.
I don't think I've seen that one yet. The last Ghostbusters I watched was the one where they had the children of the former Ghostbusters. They had Harold Ramis as the CGI ghost or whatever.
Yeah, very cool.
Back with you on the road to Indianapolis on Pod Wheels, powered by Radio Nemo, the road to NTDC 2024. Greg Thompson alongside Eugene Malero. We've got a great conversation coming up with Herschel Evans, who is not only a great competitor, but he's a terrific humanitarian. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that. In a moment, we're going to talk about the results from Arizona. But at the beginning of the podcast, Eugene, I kind of jabbed you a little bit by saying that you know all about NTDC. Of anyone in the country, you are definitely one of the top historians of this event because you've spent time and written a book about it. And of course, Eugene's book is available by clicking on the link in the show notes. But I want to take a moment and talk to you about that book and what you're doing for future editions of that.
Thanks for asking. So I'm working on the next edition of the book as we speak. But from Rodeo to TDC, a history of the truck driving championships, we have copies still left of the first edition. I encourage people to find it because as I'm working on the second edition, I'm revisiting the current edition. I know that, modesty aside, obviously I acknowledge that it was a collection that needed to be done of the history of this event. But now that I'm going back and looking at how to expand it for the second edition, I see a lot of the research value that here we have in just one place, an annotated collective of the results over the decades, and also an entry point into what was going on, not only in the culture of the trucking industry, but also the evolution of a precision driving tournament that at one point had reached a national audience. It had reached audiences at Madison Square Garden. It had the attention of the White House. It had the attention of the Department of Transportation. It was really high on the radar. Not to say that has gone away. It's just that the nation's focus is more on entertainment. And an event like this is no longer really knocking on pop culture's door. But nevertheless, just putting everything together in one place with my colleague, Jacob Pierce, he did a great deal of research for this book. But we're excited about the next edition. We're working on the second edition of the history book for next year. And I got a big interview lined up with the only person to win 3 grand champions at NTDC. Raymond Simon of Minnesota. I've been going back and forth for several months trying to land an interview. He had some family situations that he was going through, but finally we are going to speak this month, and I can't wait to pick his brain because there's been, I want to say, 10 drivers that won 2 NTDC Grand Champions, but only one won it 3 times, and that is Ray Simon. So I want to kind of ask him how he did that. I've talked to drivers who competed with Ray Simon, and they told me that Ray Simon was the ultimate silent but deadly type of guy. He was pretty much anonymous. He didn't brag. He didn't really speak. Kind of blend with the wallpaper, but he will come out and win the whole thing. So just really excited about picking his brain. And then we have some other topics that really to get into in this book. About 40 years ago, NTDC had a sidebar tournament that it was just for women, the spouses and the wives. They have some sort of a tournament for them. And they had other events like that.
That's very interesting. And I apologize for interrupting you. But later in the podcast, you're going to hear Herschel Evans talk about something that they do at the Drive for the Cure, and they have something for spouses, which was kind of cool because, you know what, whoever came up with that, and I didn't ask Herschel about this, but they very well may have drawn on something from the past.
Yeah, I think so. The old timers are aware that this actually took place. They had a name for it, which my colleague Jacob Pierce remembers it, but I don't even want to speculate on the name because I don't want to insult anybody. But it was the spouses event. It gained a lot of popularity. I want to say it happened from like the 60s and maybe into the 70s. Another thing that I noticed in the research is that I knew that a few years leading up to the National Truck Rodeo, which is today NTDC, there was some tournaments that were kind of kicking the tires, kind of figuring out if they can do a national rodeo. Well, what I learned is that in the early 1900s, there was some very amateurish trucking safety tournaments that took place. And that was the inspiration for the early amateur national truck rodeos, which eventually became the National Truck Rodeo in 1937.
Wow. Now, I have to ask you something. Mr. Simon is from Minnesota. Of course, Dick Gillespie is from Minnesota. So between the two of those guys, 5 grand championships, correct? I'm sitting in Minnesota right now as we record this. Is there something in the water up here that brings out the best of the best?
Maybe. Minnesota and Pennsylvania have the most team trophies. Dick Gillespie mentioned that he credits the passion for precision driving out of Minnesota to the weather. He said, especially in the cold weather months, in order for you to be a successful driver, right, you have to have precision, has to be the guiding light when you're driving on icy roads and snowy conditions. But yeah, there must be something to it. The culture, North Carolina has a very vibrant culture for trucking as well. And I talk to a lot of North Carolina guys, and what they tell me is that states that celebrate trucking as a culture, as a craft, and a vocation, those are the ones that produce the best drivers. And we see it with North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. I'm going to get in trouble for not mentioning other states.
I was just thinking about our friends up in the East, right? With Tony Spiro. There's a great culture up there as well. There's a great culture all over the country.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's pretty much whenever you get like-minded individuals who are very passionate about one thing, we're talking here precision truck driving, they create their own culture. And we saw that in New Jersey, they've had a very vibrant commercial transportation culture that has crept into precision driving tournaments.
Well, and speaking of states and regions that have great passion for this event, there were names that came up in the Arizona State Championship that I recognized, including Ina Daly. And I know there were a number of folks that popped out to you. Let's talk about the Arizona results for a moment if we can.
Yep. Arizona just recently concluded their TDC tournament. And I noticed that I'm going to land an interview with him, the driver David Koffel. He's with FedEx Express. He won grand champion competing out of the 4-axle class. We were there last year when Mr. Koffel won the straight truck at NTDC. So he's a gentleman who's had several years of experience. Not surprising that he surpassed a very strong field out of Arizona to win grand champion. You mentioned it, our buddy, longtime qualifier, Ina Daly. I always like to remind people she is the first woman to win a national title. She won in 2012 or 2013. I'm going to get in trouble for messing that up. She won in the tanker truck division. She is competing with XPO Logistics. Again, she's going to be in flatbed. And she is the most recent recipient of the NTDC Professional Excellence Award, named after Neil Domstarter, a longtime chief organizer of the event. The organizers always remind me that that award is comparable to Grand Champion. That is an honorary Oscar. That's like saying, hey, we, the organizers, believe that you are a Grand Champion. Please take this award. So that is a big deal. Former Grand Champions of the event have been winners of the Neil Domstarter Award. It's a humongous deal, and she won that award in 2023. Just heard from her in real time, by the way, that she likes to read the Transport Topics articles about the road to NTDC as motivation, and she said the motivation worked this year, and she says she's looking forward to seeing all her friends at NTDC in Indianapolis. And I'll catch up with her, obviously, before the tournament.
Well, Eugene, it's always great to hear from Ina. And another thing I wanted to bring up, I want to thank everyone in the National Truck Driving Championships Facebook group. And we're able to post our podcast in there. We've gotten multiple likes in there. It's not about getting the likes, but I know that folks are listening to the podcast from this group. And you're listening at a high level in terms of how many of you folks are downloading it and that you're listening to nearly the entire podcast. And we appreciate listenership. We're doing this for you guys and everybody who's interested in this event.
That's right. I'm really happy that we're putting together this podcast because I see it as able to inform not only the diehard people who are very passionate about this, but hopefully introduce new people into this event, into the safety culture, and into this really what Roland Boldick of Massachusetts and other drivers call the big family of truck drivers who meet every year to celebrate safety and see how they're able to master the craft of precision truck driving. So thanks everybody for listening.
And Eugene, you talked about family, and when we're having these conversations and folks in the Facebook group and folks that are interested in this event are listening, I kind of feel like we're talking to our family. And one of the folks that I was able to reach out to was Elizabeth Barna, who spent many years when she was with ATA working on organizing the event and really put her heart and soul into it. I happened to run into her at Matt's. It was funny because I saw a post about an event they were having down in Georgia. I thought, I really would like to talk to Elizabeth. And that day, I turned around at Matt's and there she is. And she said, hey, I'll hook you up with Herschel. I gave you a little bit of homework to look into Herschel Evans because I was able to do an interview with him. I felt like I kind of went into it a little bit blind before we started the interview. Have you qualified for the Nationals? He goes, oh, maybe a time or 13. And so I said, I need to talk to my friend, the historian, Eugene, to give us some background on Herschel.
He is a multiple qualifier for the National Truck Driving Championships. And in the five axle, he actually is a two-time national title, which is a big deal. He won the five axle class. The three axle and the five axle are the most competitive classes, by the way, in 2008 and in 2011, driving for Holland. And he is a driver that has had a illustrious safety career, chronicling multi-million safety miles in driving. So he is considered one of the standard bearers for truck safety. And he was rewarded for that commitment for safety by making it to the American Trucking Association's Road Team Captains. And he has a big heart. He's a man who has devoted several decades putting together a charitable organization fundraiser to come up with money to help individuals that have pediatric brain tumors in our community. I went around and I talked to a lot of my sources, and I remember Herschel Evans. I never really sat down and interviewed him. He's on my to-do list, but the people that I asked had nothing but great things to say about him.
Well, Eugene, I think you're going to really enjoy this interview because, as we said earlier, and you referenced it, this guy's got a huge heart. He is a humanitarian. It's a very interesting story on how he came to support the pediatric brain cancer charity. And it's incredible to think that this effort that he started, and it was just by riding motorcycles with his motorcycle group, and they were supporting this charity. He decided to, as you know, practice for NTDC and for the state is huge for these guys. They used to have a practice event up in North Carolina, and as he shares, that event came to an end because the place where they were hosting it no longer could host it. He inquired about moving it to the Atlanta area. He had a conversation with his CEO, had a chance to do that. And his CEO basically said, what do you need? And then they ended up landing at the Yellow Yard for a number of years. And of course, as you know, Yellow went through its issues in 2023. And the Yellow Yard was not available in 2024. And they were able to put something together very fast in 2024. Just an amazing guy. And here's the thing. You named all of the things that he did. He's also got a truck stop named after him because he is a TA Citizen Driver of the Year. Just an amazing guy. And really looking forward to having you and everybody else check out this interview. Herschel Evans joins us now on the podcast. Herschel, it's great to have you here on the Road to Indianapolis podcast here on Pod Wheels, powered by Radio Nemo. Elizabeth Barna, who, as you know, was long involved with the national championships, ran into her at Matt's and she said, Greg, you need to talk to Herschel. And I'm so glad that we've connected. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, sir. Thanks for having me.
One of the reasons that we wanted to have you on is that just last month in March, on March 16th, you headed up the Safety Drive for a Cure down in the Atlanta area. You guys have been doing this for a while. It's one of these events that's basically a practice event for people who are looking to compete at the state and go on to the nationals, kind of a warm-up, say spring training, if you will. So tell us a little bit about Safety Drive for a Cure, because it's more than just a practice event, isn't it?
It is. It's a fundraiser for the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation.
And how did that come about?
The event started many years ago up in the Carolinas, and it was started by some roadway drivers. One of them was a fellow named J.C. Miller, who was a real good friend of mine. They started as an event for the neighboring states' drivers for roadway to get together and have a little friendly competition. And they called it the Battle of the Borders, the states that border North Carolina. The area where they held it in North Carolina, they were forced to move out of that location, so they moved it to Atlanta. They did it for a couple of years in Northwest Atlanta at Marietta, next to a yellow terminal. Yellow bought roadway and then turned into YRC, and all that was kind of going on simultaneously. And the location where they were hosting it there, they held it there for a couple of years, and that location also got sold, so they needed to move it again. And they knew I was heavily involved in the truck driving championships, and my yard at the Holland Terminal in Ellenwood was a fairly large facility. And they asked me if I would start hosting the event. I believe that was in 2013. So I told them I would under one circumstance, under one condition, and that is that we turn it into a fundraiser for some type of charity. Of course, everybody I work with knows that I've been involved with the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation for as long as I've been a professional driver, which now is about 37 years. They all knew that. They knew I'd been a part of that because I always hit them up every year for 10 or 20 bucks a piece to help our fundraising efforts for that. So the committee that organized it said, well, let's do it for the PBTF because you've been involved with them for a while and we'll do that. So that was great. We started doing that. The first couple of years we did it, we still did it as a intercompany event that was open to just our drivers. So we invited any driver from any of our sister companies that wanted to come to Atlanta and compete. We did it for 2 years doing it that way. And each year we raised about $3,000. I had the opportunity to have dinner with some of our executives, namely James Welch, our CEO, out in San Diego. And I proposed the idea to him, if we could open this event up to every driver from every company, that we could have a lot larger impact on the industry and on the foundation as far as raising money. So he agreed to it. He told me, basically, tell me what you need. Got the green light. The very next year that we did it, we opened it up and asked anybody that wanted to come. And right off the bat, our donations tripled and went to $9,000 the first year that we opened it up for everybody. Progressively through the years, it's just gotten larger and larger and larger. And I believe this year was our 12th year actually raising money. The event's been going on longer than that, but the actual fundraising has been going on. This was our 12th year. This year, we should be just north of $50,000 this year. That'll be the third year that we've cracked $50,000. All cumulative total, the event's raised really, really close to $350,000.
That is really amazing. So tell us, if you would, how did you find this charity? How did it become a passion for you?
Years and years ago, when I was a high school kid in Atlanta, there was a TV weatherman that would get on TV and ask people to come to what's called the Atlanta Ride for Kids. It started back in 1984. Anybody that rides a motorcycle watches the weatherman. So the weatherman was kind of our favorite guy on TV because he told us whether or not he was going to be fit to ride tomorrow or not. So he hosted this ride that was started in 1984 by a bunch of motorcycle riders that had a friend who had a child with a brain tumor. They just got together and wanted to raise a little money to help their friend that had a kid that was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I got involved with Atlanta Ride for Kids probably in 87 or 88 and first showed up the first year, just wanted a place to go ride a motorcycle. The next year we showed up, me and my buddies that rode with me, we decided we'd show up a lot earlier so we'd get a lot closer to the front of the line. And when we showed up that early that morning, we thought we'd be the first ones there, but we weren't. There were several dozen people already in the parking lot. They threw us a t-shirt, said volunteer. All of a sudden we were volunteers. We were helping set up things for the ride. And just my involvement with them has just grown over the years up to the point that I've been a member of what's called the task force for many, many years. and we organize the Atlanta Ride for Kids. We put the event on, we decide the locations, we set up the food and all that. And this was started by a fellow named Mike Trainer, Mike and Diane Trainer. One of the things he always liked to let all the motorcycle riders know was that everything that was needed for the event, everything that we needed to put the event on, t-shirts, food, the venue, the help with the police officers escorting the ride, everything that we needed was all donated or sponsored by sponsors. And he did that so that every dollar that the motorcyclist raised went directly to pediatric brain tumor research and care. So we didn't use any of the riders' funds to put the event on. So that's what we've modeled the Safety Drive for a Cure after, is we go out and seek sponsors to pay for or donate everything that we need. Trophies, t-shirts, food, the venue, tables, chairs, everything is 100% donated by sponsoring companies, which are all trucking related type companies. And we get some discounts. Our trophy supplier and our t-shirt supplier are actually truck drivers that heard about our event over the years and reached out to us and said, hey, I do this as a side business and I'm willing to give you a pretty good discount if you'll let me be your trophy supplier. So that way our sponsors don't have to pay as much for our t-shirts and our trophies. So a lot of relationships have come out of this where it really is 100% totally put on by the trucking industry.
Again, what you're sharing here is amazing because it started from, hey, I think we can have this over here at my place, and then let's open it up. And it's just evolved into this major deal that you're describing this as kind of a community coming together. How does it make you feel to know that one conversation with your CEO and opening the doors to this has become something that's generated $350,000 over its lifetime to a worthy charity?
I'm really not one bit surprised because I know what kind of people are in the trucking industry. They're just good, hardworking, salt of the earth type people. They're just the kind of people that they'll pull over on the side of the road, help you change your tire, jump your truck off. They're just good people. I'm not a bit surprised that the trucking industry as a whole has gotten behind this. It is very humbling that this much of a turnout and this much of a fundraiser has turned into this. But I'll tell people real quick, my only talent is not being bashful. My wife will tell you that I embarrass her on a regular basis.
That's okay.
I'm not bashful about asking somebody for help or putting somebody to work. If they tell me they'll work or they'll tell me they'll show up and do a job, I'll ask them. I'll get them to do it. My role in this is more or less sit around, send out a whole bunch of emails and ask a whole bunch of people to show up. And then one Saturday in March, all these folks would come out of the woodwork and show up and actually do what they said they'd do.
And Herschel, many people know that your efforts have been recognized within the industry. You were named a TA Citizen Driver of the Year just a couple of years back in 2020, in fact, along with Jerry Seaman. In the bio here on the TA Citizen Driver, it notes the Safety Drive for a Cure and your efforts there. It talks about the fact that you are a road team captain chosen in 2013. And we know that those folks are not chosen lightly. So your accomplishments within the industry have definitely been cited and noted. I get the sense that you're just one of these people that likes to give back.
A lot of it comes from my faith. I believe you ought to help your fellow man. If you got the ability to help somebody, you should. And that's where a lot of the drive for it, I guess, comes from. I'm not a rich guy. I don't have a bunch of money. I can't stroke a check to somebody for a huge amount of money, but I can put in a little sweat, a little effort, a little time, and try to make something good happen. And if you've got that ability or if you have that talent to talk to people and kind of organize something, make something happen, I think you want to try it and do it.
What's been the reaction from the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation to the more than $350,000 that's been generated through this event?
They're absolutely tickled to death. Our events that we do all over the country every year raise a significant amount of money for the PBTF and the Safety Drive for a Cure. I think a couple of years ago, I went to one of the conferences in Asheville, North Carolina, and I think of all the events that go on across the year, I think the Safety Drive for a Cure was probably the third largest fundraiser individually. A lot of good has come out of it. A lot of what we do as part of the road team is to let people know about the trucking industry, how important the trucking industry is. Everybody knows what trucks are. We know what we do, but they've gotten to see and meet and talk to all these truck drivers and be involved with us. And a lot of the executives at the foundation have even came out and driven trucks on the course, tried their hand at taking a truck through the course. We have a class that the wives of the drivers started called the Better Half Class.
Okay.
Where we take a family member of a driver or friend that doesn't drive, and we put them in a truck with a driver and let them go through the course with a truck that's got an automatic transmission, and they just get to see what we see when we're competing. First year that we did that, the Better Half Class had the most participants of any class, and they raised the most money as a class. It's mostly wives. I hate to characterize it as the wives class, but it is mostly the wives of drivers. There's some nephews, and there's some friends of the family, and there's some family members getting involved. And the folks at the foundation have tried their hand at that. They've actually signed up for the Better Half class and actually came out and got in a truck and drove. There's been a little bit of them getting to see the side of trucking that they probably never seen before, get behind the wheel of a large truck. I think last year we put them in a set of twins. This year we had them in a five-axle rig. We've had them in a tanker rig before. We try to change up every year, let the Better Half class drive something different. They've got to see a side of trucking that they never would have got to see before. The folks that work at the foundation, work in the office, they're not trucking people. They might know a little bit about trucks, but they've gotten to see a part of trucking that otherwise they never would have got to see.
Right. I imagine over the years that they've gained a greater appreciation for the industry and the people in the industry.
I'm sure they have.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the day. I'm glad you brought up the Better Half class. It sounds like an amazing fun day that you guys had this year on March 16th. Tell us about it.
Oh, it is. It was a lot of fun. Number one, we didn't know if it was going to happen or not, because with Yellow going out of business, of course, we lost our location to hold the event. So we were in a mad scramble to find a location to hold it, because they closed down the end of July, 1st of August. Our planning starts probably several months before that. But with everything that's going on, we had to hold back and wait to do all our planning, because we didn't know if we was going to have a location to do it. So a conversation got started with me and a fellow in Florida by the name of George Moore. He's a driver for UPS, and he brought up the idea of hosting it at the UPS facility in Atlanta. That conversation got started. It took several months for that to work its way through the bureaucracy, and it all came down to it. And then UPS kind of researched what we do and saw what we did. They fully signed on board and told us I could have their parking lot. We could go for it.
That was a major victory.
It was awesome.
Because UPS is one of the largest transportation companies in the world, and you mentioned there's a lot of hoops that you have to go through, and it really speaks well of what you guys had accomplished over the many years, right?
Yes. We had a meeting with one of their vice presidents, Dwight Kelly, and he pretty much told me, it was kind of reminiscent of that conversation with James Welch, where he said, you got the green light, go ahead, it's all yours. So he basically just gave me several acres of his parking lot to take over and do our event in. UPS is extremely excited, ready for it to grow and get even bigger and move on from. We've already picked a date for next year tentatively and extremely excited. But all of that had to take place before this event this year could transpire, because we didn't know if we were going to be able to pull it off or not. That put all of our planning quite a few months behind. So it was pretty much mad dash there toward the end to get everything lined up. I'm tickled to death that it came off like it did. I can't believe we were able to pull it off in that short amount of time. But once again, the trucking industry come through and made everything happen.
So tell us a little bit about the day. So you guys got the facility at UPS. It's happening. You've got the Better Half class. What all takes place during the Drive for the Cure?
First thing we do, first thing in the morning, we get coffee and donuts ready, and we have everybody that comes in and kind of gets to the registration table and checks in and make sure we know who's there, know who's attending, we know who might be missing or wasn't able to make the trip. We always have a few people every year that have other things come up and they can't make it. So we start counting heads and make sure we've got everybody lined up. We start doing some announcements and some instructions about 8 in the morning. Then after we get done with that, we have the written test where we set the drivers down. We give them their written test. While they're doing their written test, we take all the judges out on the course, show them the course, show them the problems, get everybody assigned to a location. And then as soon as the written test is over, we start competing. We start the pre-trip competition and the driving competition at the same time and just start moving everybody through the competition side of it. And we have lunch. Lunch is cooked by a fellow named John Nutter out of Cartersville, Georgia. He comes down on Friday the night before and cooks Boston butts. This year he cooked 32 Boston butts all night long. That was our lunch, along with some hamburgers and hot dogs.
So it's an event where not only the competitors are coming out, but the families, the kids, it's making it a big day for everybody.
Yeah, UPS went all out. They bought a bunch of bicycles and had a bicycle raffle for all the kids. They had bounce houses brought in and slides. They had a lot of kids' activities for them to do. The Georgia Department of Public Safety brought out their Motor Carrier Compliance Division tractor-trailer simulator. There were several other show trucks that came and showed up and just made a big family event out of it.
So, Herschel, let me ask you this. We are on a podcast talking about the Truck Driving Championships. I know from talking to you before we started recording, you've been to the Nationals 7 times. You're a Georgia Grand Champion in the past. You are a national champion. How important is it to have an event like this where you can really practice and compete at the same time? There is a little bit of pressure to compete, but it's not a state where you got to win to go to nationals. Talk to us about that.
The competition we hold draws in drivers from all over the country. This year we had drivers come from 26 different states. I'd say the majority of the field of drivers there were former state champions. We had quite a few former national champions there. If I can remember correctly, at least three or four former national grand champions were there. As far as a tough competition, it's probably tougher than any state you'll go to.
Wow. Sounds like a super regional, doesn't it?
It does. It really is. As far as the level of competition, you're not going to come home from this event with a trophy unless you really got your game together. We also push real heavily getting rookies involved because I know my rookie year when I went to Georgia for the first time, I had absolutely no clue what I was doing. To have an event like this where you can go kind of get your feet wet, kind of get a little bit of experience with a course, with a test, with a vehicle inspection, just to get involved in it, you'll feel a lot more comfortable when you go to state. You won't be as taken aback like I was my first year.
Yeah, I've talked to a number of people over the years that the first time they get out there at the state, it's like, okay, I've practiced, I've gone through my company competition maybe, but the state is a totally different animal. And if you're not ready, and a lot of people aren't, it sounds like you're able to allow people to have that kind of aha moment with some serious competition.
Yes, they drive out on the course. We have motor carrier compliance division officers come out and do our scoring. I know my first year at state, the most intimidating thing was when I looked out that windshield and I'm looking out on the course and there's 20 state troopers standing out there with clipboards in their hand. That's fairly intimidating.
Right.
To get an opportunity to do that in a more friendly environment, I think is valuable. We call it getting bitten by the bug, the TDC bug. Once you get bit by the TDC bug, you're going to want to keep coming back year after year. The truck driving championships did something for me as far as a driver where it pushed me from the level of just not wanting to be charged with an accident to not wanting to be involved in an accident at all. I think it pushed me to a higher level as far as a driver where I was more concerned about making sure that I didn't let somebody else's mistakes cost me a trip to state. That's why you want to get the rookies involved, because overall you make the trucking industry as a whole safer because you've got more and more drivers that are reaching for that perfect driving record. They want to be one of those guys that when they ask for the 3 and the 4 million mile drivers to stand up, they want to be one of those guys or ladies. That's what they're reaching for as a goal.
Well, and the other thing, Herschel, and you know this, is that this industry is in a transitional phase. We are getting younger just because folks like you are getting a little bit older. I'm at the back end of the baby boom generation. So we need to get younger people involved in all facets of the industry, and getting folks involved and exposed to this competition is very important.
Yes, we're definitely not getting any younger. We can't get a whole lot older because I think the average age of a truck driver right now is about 55, and I'm only a couple of years past that. So to look at a guy like me that's been at it for 37 years and to think I'm the average age of a truck driver practically is...
Make you pause a little bit, won't it?
Because it's a bunch of us old guys that are toting the load, and we're going to retire. Y'all can bet on that. I'm not going to do this forever. So when we do, we've got to find the younger generation to pass it on down to. And the more fun we can make it, the more entertaining we can make it, and the more interesting we can make it, I think that's what it's going to take to draw new folks into it.
Well, let me ask you this then. Were you guys successful in bringing in some newer folks to this?
Oh, yeah. We always have a lot of rookies every year. We call a rookie at our event somebody who's never competed at all in any event. Not just that they haven't been to our event, but somebody who's never competed in any kind of competition at all. Our Rookie of the Year trophy goes to somebody who this is the first time they've ever been to a truck driving competition. I won't give it to a guy that's been to state 4 times and now he's the first time coming to our event. We don't call that a rookie. Our level of rookie means that you've never competed at all. Every year we have quite a few of those drivers. That's what's really encouraging.
I tell you what, man, you've got me excited about this event next year. I don't live too far from the UPS terminal where you guys had this event. I'm going to make my plans to be there, take in the whole day, talk to folks. It sounds to me, as you're describing this, we've got the state competitions, you've got the nationals, and if you want to think of those like the golf Grand Slam, well, you guys are like the Players Championship. It's not an official part of the Grand Slam, but it's something you want to be involved with. Is that a fair comparison?
Absolutely. There's a lot of what we call heavy hitters. There's a lot of heavy hitters at the Safety Drive for a Cure every year. These guys that do this all the time that have been competing for years, the Don Logans and the Wayne Crowders and the Roland Bulldogs of the world, they take their competition extremely seriously. They get a chance to come here and do this event. People that set our course and write our tests and all this are people that have been involved with the truck driving championships for multiple decades.
You know, if Roland Bulldog shows up to this, it's a serious deal because this guy trains, I think, every day. He loves it, breathes it, and it's wonderful because if you get around Roland, you have to be excited about all that's happening with the championships and all that's happening in trucking. He just radiates positivity.
He's definitely bitten by the bug.
Absolutely.
So as we're chatting right now, it's early April. You guys in Georgia have your championships in May. How are you feeling about things this year?
I got to start studying that book and reading a little more. I think as far as turnout goes, I think our turnout this year is going to be real good. I've already heard people are having trouble getting rooms at the hotel because everything's getting booked up. So, yeah, I think we're going to have a really good turnout.
Hey, before we go, I need to ask you about somebody that we both know, and he was one of the course announcers last year at the NTDCs, and that's Tim Taylor. He's a fellow road team captain, and now
yes,
he is a fellow citizen driver, and I understand that you nominated Tim for that honor.
I did.
So tell me what inspired you to nominate Tim for this very prestigious honor, the TA Citizen Driver of the Year.
Tim's been one of our top fundraisers for many years. The first year we gave away our top fundraiser award, he won that. And back when I got Georgia Driver of the Year in 2012, they told a little bit about what I'd done and what I'd been involved with. And Tim told me then, he said, I want to get to know this guy and I want to kind of emulate what he does. And that was an honor for me to have him say that about me. Tim and I have become really close friends. He got on America's Road Team just a couple of years after I did. Tim's just an awesome guy. He goes above and beyond as far as making sure our event goes off without a hitch. He's also a former Georgia Driver of the Year honoree. He works his butt off every year raising money. He does a lot of stuff behind the scenes that a lot of people don't see, but he's extremely valuable to what we do. When he and I talked a little bit about that, and I mentioned to him I'd like to nominate him for it, he didn't think he had a shot at it, but I knew from knowing what he had done and what all he'd been involved with, a lot of the other stuff he does is maybe not trucking related, a lot of his community involvement. I knew he was a perfect candidate for it. So I was honored to nominate him. I wrote a letter to the folks at TA Petro and told them what I thought about him along with his nomination and all the stuff he'd done, how valuable he was to us. And no surprise at all that they picked him. He's just a heck of a guy.
Herschel, as you know, this year they had 140 nominees and there were only three people selected. There was Tim, there was Steve Jones and Gina Jones. They are a driving team. Gina is America's Road Team captain. So for Tim to be one of the three picked out of 140 speaks very highly of everything you just shared about him.
Yes, sir. He's one of the guys that will always be there when you need him. He'll work his butt off for you. So just tickled to death for him.
So I have to ask you, Herschel, the Jackson, Georgia TA is one of those iconic locations, and now Tim's name's going to be on it. So when you go there the next time and you see his name up there, how's that going to make you feel?
Oh, I'll probably definitely have to get a selfie with his plaque. So, yeah, I pass by that location numerous times during the month. We do a lot of runs down to Florida and South Georgia, and so I can go by there fairly regular. So that'll be really cool to have him recognized at that location.
Well, one of the things that I'm planning to do right now, and again, it's in the planning stages, but I hope to be able to come down and check out what's going to be happening at the Georgia State Championships, because I know you're going to be there. Tim's going to be there. A lot of great drivers, and should be a lot of fun. And you guys have your eyes on the Nationals.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, Herschel, it's been tremendous to be able to talk to you. Thank you again for all that you're doing for the industry. The $350,000 raised for the charity Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation, that's an amazing accomplishment. Congratulations on that, and looking forward to seeing you down at the Georgia State Championships.
Yes, sir. That'd be great.
Back with you on Pod Wheels, powered by Radio Nemo. For our remaining moments on the road to NTDC 2024, the road to Indianapolis, Greg Thompson alongside Eugene Malero. Eugene, we talked about Herschel Evans being a humanitarian. Man, that guy's got a heart and a soul for this industry and for his community, too.
And in 2018, at the American Trucking Association's annual conference, he was really recognized with one of the top awards at that event. The president of ATA, Chris Beard, awarded Evans the Trucking Cares Foundation Premier Achievement Award, the first inaugural award of such kind, for his commitment and passion for charity and the fundraiser that he has led over the years. The money that came along with that award, he donated it to his charity, of course.
Here's the thing, Eugene. I talked to Herschel for about 45 minutes. We shared 20 minutes of that conversation. I could have talked to him for 3 hours. Just what an amazing guy. And so thrilled that Elizabeth Barna connected us.
allowed us to have him share his story. And here's something that I know that you can really appreciate. Here's the thing, I have not done this and I should have done this. I should have asked him specifically, who were the former national champions that were there? We know Roland Bolduc was there because you have talked to Roland. We know he went down there and competed. But as Herschel said, the folks that were competing in this, that's like a super regional. That's tougher than many state championships. And the fact that they only give their rookie of the year to the person that's never competed in the event says something about that event. You and I have got to go to this thing next year.
You know what? I'm going to put it on my to-do list. It reminds me of in New Jersey, they would have the high schools by their groups, but they will have a conference tournament. And the conference tournament was not based on groups. It was based on the location of your school. So a small school will be competing with a private school and a prep school and a large school. So this sounds like a conference tournament, a tournament where you will have a variety of individuals coming together, not necessarily people from the same state who know each other over the years.
Next March, it's on my calendar to make the trip down to Atlanta. And I was so thrilled to hear that the folks at UPS, from what Herschel shared with us, were ecstatic about the event. And again, big props to UPS to open their facility in Atlanta up on short notice for this event. You do something good, you get paid back, right?
That's right. And I can see it growing over the years. You and I are giving it a lot of publicity, and individuals like Roland Bolduc, who use this as a regional tournament to kind of like get their sea legs back before our state competition. And I don't mean to do a callback, but with what happened with Greg Wilson, I'm sure a lot of guys saw that as a wake-up call that it's really good to kind of start practicing a little earlier and getting a big scrimmage early out of the way in order so they can get their mind ready. So this does remind me of, like I said, not only a conference tournament, but a very early season big game to kind of just give you a quick reminder, a quick shock to the system that we are in the big times. This is the big leagues. We're fastball hitters. So let's start getting ready and let's start working on what we need to work on for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. And as we record this on April 17th, in our final moments, what's coming up on the schedule? What do we need to be looking for here before we do our next recording, which will be in early May?
Yeah, so I'm already looking at previewing. There's going to be just a bunch of tournaments in mid to late May. You got Virginia, you have some Midwest tournaments, Ohio is in there. So I'm going to be doing some previews to see who's on the radar, who's going to be coming back. And then there's speculation that some big name drivers out of Ohio, Scott Woodrum, a two-time grand champion at NTDC, he's likely to be competing in the three axle. So right now, that's pretty much what I'm looking at. Also looking at June, there's going to be New Jersey and the New England Tri-State Tournament. Then by the time that you and I connect again, I'm going to have an interview under the belt with David Koffel, the winner of Arizona. I'm going to get the ins and outs and pick his brain and see what was the thing that got him to the winner's circle.
And one of the things that I'm planning on doing, because when I get back home, I'm going to be close to Georgia, so I'm going to check the dates on that. I know that the Georgia event is coming up in May, and Tim Taylor, who Herschel referenced in his interview, was just named a Citizen Driver of the Year at MATS 2024. I'm going to go down there because I want to see if Tim, the Toolman Taylor, who was our course announcer last year, he's making a bid to win a Georgia State Championship so he can be out in the field in Indianapolis. So that's what I'm looking forward to in early May.
That's great. It's really good when you see guys who come back and start competing again. That actually is a testament about how contagious this tournament is, that once you start learning about it, following it, you start seeing other drivers do it. These longtime competitors, it's really difficult for them to like hang up their cleats and walk away from the game.
Man, that's exactly right. And as we close things out, I want to give you the final word. Any final thoughts on this edition of the Road to Indianapolis, the Road to NTDC 2024?
The reigning grand champion, Greg Wilson, I don't mean to keep beating him up, but he said it, any given Sunday, anything can happen. This is a reminder, put in your training, put in your exercise, your practice, read the book, Facts for Drivers, stay safe, accident free, and just remember that this is all about safety, but anything can happen any given Sunday, give it your best.
Folks, we're always going to give you our best, and we're looking forward to more editions of The Road to Indianapolis, The Road to NTDC. Eugene, once again, terrific to spend time with you. Looking forward to talking to you in a couple of weeks.
The pleasure is always mine.
Thanks for spending part of your day with us on The Road to Indianapolis as Pod Wheels, powered by Radio Nemo, tracks the people and the stories of NTDC 2024. Eugene and Greg will return very soon with the next episode in this series. Until next time, we invite you to check out all of our previous NTDC coverage from the past 2 years on podwheels.com. You can also keep up with all the episodes of this special event series by subscribing to this podcast. Just search National Truck Driving Championships and hit subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. The Road to NTDC 2024 is a production of Podwheels, powered by Radio Nemo.